And so this morning I'm concluding our series, Next Level Living. And so very excited about the message today because it takes courage to take Jesus with you in this world. Everybody say courage. Amen, courage. And so today in this series, really we've been answering the question in the words of Jesus, what does life supposed to look like for the believer? And so if you guys are in tune with culture, maybe you watch the news, you listen to people, you know that in the era in which we live, the enemy in the world is piping evil and crude suggestions into your life, into the life of our kids today. How many realize I'm right about that? Okay, there is definitely an agenda, and I've said this for weeks, but there's an agenda in place right now in our life and in this era to remove the God concept from this generation. In other words, they're not just trying to cast doubt on whether or not you can believe in Christ. They're trying to cast doubt on the existence of God. Amen. Okay, so today I want to talk to us about next level courage. Again, everybody say courage. Because it takes courage to take Jesus with you. In fact, in this era, we have to be courageous if we want to be a great light for Jesus. Amen, everybody. And so I want to begin by saying this. I believe if you read the Word of God in the Gospels, you find out that Jesus was the most courageous man who ever lived. He had to face more obstacles in his life. In fact, beginning in our text this morning, we begin to see, and really where we're going to land today is the concept that you can take courage as a believer because of the courage that he demonstrated, and then he transferred that confidence to us in our life. Y'all ready to grow this morning? Come on. Amen. Let's look in Scripture together in John chapter 10 and verse number 31. All month long, we've been ministering straight from the words in red, just straight from the words of Jesus, and we're kind of going there again today. But a little story about him today. Verse 31 says, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." Again to stone him. Notice this morning that there was always a price, an ongoing price on Jesus' head. In fact, throughout the whole New Testament, when you read the Word, there are several occasions when the religious people tried to gang up on Jesus and tried to kill him. But hear me, church, they tried to kill him, but even in this instance here, it wasn't time for him to lay down his life. He said earlier in this chapter, and here's where we begin to get courage from the life and the words of Jesus, talking about his life being laid down. He said earlier in this chapter in John chapter 10 and verse 18, the Lord said this. He said, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Look what he said. He said, "I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again." That right there should give us a lot of courage right there. How many are thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? See, they couldn't put him down till he said it was time for me to go down. He had already declared, you know what? When I lay down my life, it's going to be because I've had the courage. I'm done with my mission, and I lay down my life. And when I do, don't worry, my mission's still not over, because although I've got the power to lay down my life, I've also got the power to raise my life back up again. Thank God. Amen. In other words, he said this. He's saying this. It was futile for them to try to kill Jesus before he was ready to be killed. Did you know that this is exactly the way it works with God's will in our life, even today, as you go into schools? And guys, if you're going back to school here in a couple of weeks, understand this. It's the same way. There will always be some sort of opposition working against you, trying to interrupt what God has planned. But I want to remind us of something so important this morning. Jesus said to his followers in Luke 10, 18 and 19, he said this. Luke 8, in verse 18, Jesus said this. He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now, that's a good way of prefacing something right there. It's kind of like Jesus was saying, you know what? What I'm about to say is fortified by the fact that I've got the authority to say it, because I was there in the beginning. He could have gone on to explain to them, you know what? I'm the Word of God. I'm the Word of God that was with God in the beginning. I am the Word. He's kind of fortifying. He's prefacing what he's about to say by reminding them that he was there to be the one to cast Satan down. In other words, he's going ahead and telling them, I've got authority over the enemy. And here's what he said in the very next verse, church. Watch me close. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notice that he set himself up. He said, I'm the one with all the authority. Satan may be coming against you, but don't worry about that. I was the one in heaven who said, get out of here, Satan. And then he turned around in the next breath and said, you know what? I take that authority and I transfer it over to you. See, for us, church, this is so significant because Jesus demonstrated that power was available to stay your course, stay your work, and do the will of God. Even when they were out to kill him and stone him and end his life over and over again, look what he did. And because of his sacrifice, here's what you and I can do. Watch this closely on your screen. He believed so thoroughly. He lived so righteously. He trusted God so perfectly that he knew no plan of this world or of the enemy was going to upend or interrupt God's ultimate plan for his life. That's why you can take courage in this world we're living in right now. Because when you live right and you trust God and you know that his word says that he is the overcomer, nothing is going to upend his plan in your life. This is the confidence that he transferred in the form of spiritual power to his followers. How many followers of Jesus we got in here this morning right here? Man? This is why I want to really fortify, bolster our faith and courage this morning to understand and know that his authority transferred to you is your source of courage and confidence. Amen. So that by faith and through his name, everything that tries to disrupt God's plan for you, everything that tries to usurp what God is doing in your life for you now and for your future, Jesus said, you have authority over that thing. Can y'all get a hold of it this morning? I want you to see it. You only need to stop being intimidated by the enemy's words and his actions and learn to just start trampling and treading over his words and actions. Y'all say that with me. Say trampling and treading. This is what you've got the authority to do. Step right over the sin and step right over the plots and plans of the enemy into God's will for your life. Amen. Come on, if y'all receive it, say a good amen right there. Come on. Let's get back to the scripture for just a moment. In John 10:32, Jesus answered them. He's talking to the religious leaders who want to stone him right here. And here's what he said, John 10:32. Jesus answers them. He said, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Notice this is one of the very few scriptures in all of the Bible where we see the Lord speaking up for himself in defense. And if we could get into the mind of Jesus right there in that very moment, we might hear him in our modern day language say something like this. You know what? I've healed your sick. I've cast out devils out of your kids. I've cleansed your lepers. I've fed your hungry. I've taught you truth at every turn. I've even raised the dead for my Father's glory. And this is what you're going to do? You're going to stone me? You'd think they'd be just a little impressed by all that the Lord had done. But hear me, church. This is how low a nasty, religious, ungodly, legalistic, religious, self-righteous attitude can take some people. He goes on to say, well, they answered him in verse 33. Watch this closely. Jesus answered and said, or the Jews answered him and said, for a good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself God. Notice that they accused Jesus of being a blasphemer. And then he answered them, jump down to verse 37. And here's was the Lord's answer. He said, watch closely, guys, because this is where I want us to get some courage today. He said, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Everybody say, believe the works. Believe the works. This was Jesus's plea. Believe the works. You may not believe what I said about myself. You may not believe what I said about God, but look into my life and believe what God is doing through my life. Y'all watching now? This is the lifestyle. By the way, here we go. Let's make it practical. This lifestyle is the most effective defense of your faith in God. In this era in which we live that's so destructive and really just so undermined, trying to undermine what's going on in this world, in the kingdom of God. The most effective defense is your thought process that says to people, you know what, you may not believe what I say, but you know what, I've got something working on the inside and I've got some things happening in my life and God's doing some things. You don't have to believe my words. Look at my life and believe the works of God. Come on, can you receive that today? I can't emphasize this enough, that this attitude, this lifestyle, it's the most practical way to defend your faith in this sin-laden society that you're trying to live in. You need to be able to look at your accusers, look at those who doubt the word of the Lord, look to those who would even discredit you for your faith, and have a life going on, something churning, some zeal of God, some evidence in your life that enables you to say with squared shoulders and with boldness, believe the works that's going on in my life. It means that our part in maintaining courage is non-negotiable. We must live, church, to demonstrate the Father, to demonstrate His love, to demonstrate His strength, and to demonstrate His power in our life, just like Jesus lived to demonstrate the Father. You might be able to say this to somebody. You might not believe my words about God, but look at my life and believe what you see Him doing through my life. Amen, somebody. I remember when I was back in elementary school, on Fridays we had this activity called Show and Tell. Anybody remember Show and Tell? I don't know if y'all still do that today, but what that means is, well, you're going to tell about something, but you're going to bring something from home to show them. And I was reminded about that this week when I was prepping this message, because it reminded me this. Sometimes it's not enough just to tell about God and what He's doing. We also need to be ready to show them what He's doing. Everybody say show them. Show and tell. Some of us are really good at telling, but really bad at showing. How are we going to show them? What does that look like? Well, why don't you show them this? Show them the works of God by your changed life. Show them. Let them see that there's been an incredible difference in you because of the impact of Jesus. You can also show them the difference by demonstrations of God's power and strength in your life because of His presence in your life. Oh, it's more than just talk. Somebody say, walk the talk. Come on. You can't just talk it. You got to walk it, somebody. And what does that look like? Well, here it is. When everybody around you is struggling because of their circumstance, hear me, church, you'll be the one with a word from God to remind them of what the word says about what's going on. You'll be the one who stops and prays and gives the mess to God while everybody else around you is talking about matters to each other. You'll be the one who remains faithful to your spiritual disciplines like worship, like Bible, like giving, like serving, like prayer, while other people around you are looking at the news and watching the economy and listening to the garbage, and they adjust their principles based on what they see, church, but not you. What are you going to do? You're going to stand in the Word and demonstrate that your faith does not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of Almighty God. So many people right now are walking around in fear and doubt, listening and watching the news and listening to all the garbage just being handed down the pike. Let me tell you right now, the Word of God is the only news that you need. Why? Because there's an agenda in place in this secular society to try to get you to fold and to believe all kind of garbage. But listen, we don't believe what's being told over there on the secular side of things. We believe, thus saith the word of the Lord. And when the word says, God has said, that's where we plant our feet and stand strong and square our shoulders and say, world, you're a liar. I'm going to reject that garbage and believe what my God says. Anybody getting a hold of it this morning? Amen. Jesus could have said it like this. He could have said, you know what? I happen to be the only one in the history of the world who is sinless. I happen to be the only one who is perfectly sanctified, sent into the world to demonstrate the love of God, and then back it up with the most wonderful miracles ever done, but you insist that I'm a blasphemer. Could you imagine? I could hear him say this. Look, since you're having such a hard time believing that I am who I say that I am, the least you could do is look at what I've done and believe in the works of God. That should give us encouragement today, everybody. He pleaded with the Jews. He pleaded with them so passionately because he deeply loved them and wanted them to be saved. But guys, no matter what Jesus did, no matter what miracles he showed them, no matter how many people he touched with his perfect love, the Bible says they still wanted to stone him. And that's where I want to shift these thoughts today to focus on you and I, because there's a couple of things we need to see from this story. And here's the first one. Don't get discouraged when the world works against you. Can y'all see that? Don't be discouraged when the world works against you. Let's put it into perspective this morning. The Lord could not sway his haters, regardless of how many wonders he worked right in their face. He healed a man on the Sabbath. They tried to kill him. He healed a blind man, and they tried to kill him. He cleansed a leper. They tried to kill him. He even raised a dead man back to life, and they tried to kill him. Now, what does that mean for me and you? Well, church, look, it means that there is a fallen world all around us that stands opposed to the truth of the gospel. And there are going to be times when they hate you for your stance for the gospel and for truth. But don't be discouraged and don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 18, he said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Amen. Don't be surprised. Thank God. He said in John 3, 20, and here's really the truth, and you all know this to be a fact. John 3 and 20, Jesus said, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. It reminds me, and I use this example Wednesday night when I was teaching some of this. It reminds me of when you're asleep in the middle of the night and somebody comes in and flips the light on. How many of y'all enjoy that? Now, the first thing you do is you cover up your face and you say, hey, turn off that light, right? It's exactly what Jesus is saying here. See, the people around us who are practicing evil, they don't want the light turned on, because they'll be exposed. Amen, everybody? There are three times to be courageous that I want to point out this morning very quickly. Watch close. Everybody say, be courageous. Talk about next level courage this morning because of what he did and what he said. Let's get real about it today. Be courageous when, number one, be courageous when the world despises the love you share with one another. Talking about in the body. Be courageous when they don't get it. Aren't you glad to be part of the body of Christ, to experience the love of God? See, they don't understand why in this kingdom we don't deal with each other like they deal with each other in the world. They're not going to get that. What are the differences? Well, they hold grudges, but we forgive. I thought somebody would say a better amen than that one right there. Come on. Maybe we need to pray about that one. They hold grudges, but we forgive. See, that's what our love's supposed to look like. Our love level's supposed to be a next level love level in this kingdom. They're not going to get why in this place we have peace because we know how to let stuff go and forgive people without them going through years of jumping through hoops and begging for your forgiveness. Altars are open, I'm just saying, you know. They hold grudges, we forgive. Watch this one. They have love based on mutual benefit, but we love unconditionally. Thank God. That's true. The world has mutually beneficial relationships and love, but in this kingdom that we live in, they're not going to get how we love unconditionally. See, church, they only accept and love people when it's easy. But in here, we love people whose history has made it difficult to love them. There's a difference. Somebody say there's a difference. See, they're not going to get, and we got to be courageous when we're tempted or going through a trial or being coerced or influenced to change the way we love in the house of God or in the body of Christ. Out there, they hold grudges. They have prerequisites in place for their love. But in here, we don't have prerequisites. We love you no matter what. Don't be surprised when they don't get it. What are you going to do? You're just going to keep letting the cross of Jesus Christ dictate how and who you love. It's the only way to show people Jesus and how he does it. The only way to be Christ-like in people's life, guys, is to treat them better than they deserve. Because that's exactly how he treated me and how he treated you. Aren't you thankful this morning that he loved you? And the Bible says that while you are yet a sinner, he chose to love you enough to go to the cross and die for you. And so that needs to be one of the differences as we go to the next level. We can't be un-Christ-like loving people, requiring them to clean up before we love them. We've got to love them right now. Amen, amen. Don't be surprised when they don't get it. Be courageous. Number two, be courageous when the world despises your place in the faith community. Can y'all see that? Be courageous. Have you noticed that the first thing the enemy tries to do when people go through trials is to convince them that they don't need the church? It's the very first sign of struggle. He or she will stop gathering together and start making excuses for pulling back from their church family. It's an ancient tactic. Guys, don't be surprised if... I need to pause on that one for just a moment. What do you mean, a plot of the enemy? Well, let me tell you this. The very first thing the enemy wants to do is separate you from your church family. That's the very first thing. And you better believe the worldly philosophies and influences, the devil, people, everything will work against you to pull you out of your church family. They understand. The enemy understands. By the way, Paul taught the church, that don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. So let me make sure you're not ignorant about this right here. The first thing the enemy wants to do is to cause you to go through some kind of level of doubt or struggle or trial or temptation. Okay? And watch this closely. The very first thing, you've seen this, if you haven't been through it, hold on, because you're going to go through it eventually. The very first thing that the enemy is going to try to suggest to you is to pull back. You don't need that church or church. You'll start making excuses, being critical. That's the first thing that comes on. The enemy will flood you with a critical mindset. You'll start tearing down people around you. Nothing will be good enough. Y'all hearing me now? Okay? You'll start looking at people instead of looking at Jesus. That's too hard for this morning. I didn't get an amen on that. You'll start looking at circumstances and people and becoming critical and harsh and hard. And what's really going on is you're going through something privately that's separating you from the power and the presence of God and trying to tempt you into pulling off from the family of God so that you'll be out there alone and vulnerable by yourself. And they don't get it. Don't be surprised when the world doesn't get how you thrive in our community of faith together. They would rather struggle on their own than admit that they need somebody. It's what the Word of God calls the pride of life. But we know. We know there's power and there is strength when we're faithful to stick together and rely on God together, hand in hand. Come on, somebody. If you're glad about that, give him a praise right now. Come on. Next level courage. Be courageous. Number three, when the world despises the higher standards that you live to keep. Oh, they're not going to like that one. They're not going to like it when you decide to live right and be right, and they're still wanting you to engage in things the old man wanted to do. Amen, everybody. That's a huge temptation. And I can tell you this right now. If you want to see the power of God active in your life, live right for God. Start compromising and making excuses for your lifestyle, and you'll wonder where Jesus went. But here's the truth. It's not him that moved. Amen. We got all kind of compromises going on in the life of the modern day church right now. And people, well, you know, the Bible this and the Bible that, and the Bible's not clear on that, and I'm just making an excuse and a compromise here and there. Let me tell you something. If we'll compromise the little things, eventually you'll wonder why in the world you don't feel God anymore. Amen, amen. Remember what Jesus said. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and will not come into the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Church, it takes courage to stand your ground and to live differently as one who's been called out of darkness and into his glorious light. And that should be how we land with our standards. When you're tempted or when the enemy's trying to cause you to be intimidated by something in this world, you should just rely on that. Wait a minute, I'm called out of that life. I'm called out of that scenario. I'm called out of that. I'm called out of one thing and into something else. I'm called out of darkness and into his light. Amen, somebody. Thank God, thank God. The last point I want to make in this series before we pray over schools and over teachers and students today and bless them with, and these backpacks are going to be a great blessing to people. But don't you see number two real quick? Sometimes there's a toll that comes with being a serious believer. I want to read that one more time. Sometimes there's a toll that comes with being a serious believer. Everybody say serious believer. That's why Jesus said we've got to take up our cross and follow him. See, everybody, when the cross is at its heaviest, that's when you and I are going to do what he said to those religious Jews. When believing and being faithful gets a little heavy, and it does. How many realize I'm right about that one? Sometimes believing and being faithful and being diligent and being reliable in the kingdom of God gets a little bit heavy because of the things that you go through in life. But when it gets to be heavy and discouragement tries to get on you, you're not going to be discouraged. No, here's what you're going to do. These are the times you look back over your own life and do what Jesus said to the religious people, believe the works. Come on, everybody say believe the works. And sometimes you've got to believe the works for your own self. Believe them. You got to remind yourself of his activity in your life. Believe the works that you've seen him do. Believe the works that he's done in your life, in the life of your family. Believe the works, those times he's brought you through difficulties and trials. Those times that he has healed you. Those times when he has set you free. Those times when he's come through for you, when everybody around you has let you down. How about those times when he forgave you of your sin and your compromises and set you free from that lifestyle of destruction? How about the times that he empowered you to overcome that trap that the enemy laid for you? Has he ever been there for you in those times? How about those times he rescued you from that trap that you made for your own self, that mess that you made, from that decision that you made that you look back over years and years and regret having ever said it, having ever done it, and now Jesus is finally giving you some freedom and some liberation from those garbage things that you used to do. Believe the works. And when it's time to stir up our courage, man, sometimes the best thing you can do is just to go back in your spiritual memory bank and thumb through the files of all the times that God has been there for you and start believing that if he did it back then, he can do it again. Let me tell you this. If he saved your husband, he can save your mom and daddy. If he saved your daughter, he can save your son. If he healed you then, he can heal you today. His power doesn't change, and his love doesn't quit. He remains the same because he's faithful. He's your heavenly Father who loves you, and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Come on, somebody. And his mercy endureth forever. Come on. Believe the works because he's still working, and it ain't done. Final scripture today, and then we're going to pray, John 11. And y'all know the story of Mary and Martha, who lost their brother Lazarus. Y'all know this wonderful story, but there's a theme in that story that we need to remember this morning as we're stirring up our next level courage. Here's what he said when he heard that Lazarus had died. He came to the sisters in John 11:4, and here's what he said. When Jesus heard that, he said this. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. What does that mean? You can take courage because even when something looks like it's over, if Jesus is going to be glorified, it ain't over. It ain't over till he says it's over. Amen. You can take courage. Because, yeah, there may be an agenda in place right now to sweep under your feet, to pull the rug out from underneath you, to try to change the way you think, the way your kids think, the way you interact with the world and with society. And you better believe those suggestions aren't going to stop anytime soon. But the way to combat those ideologies and those influences and those philosophies, church, is to get louder with the word. Get louder. Turn up the volume of the word of God in your own life. You make sure that what Jesus said is coming in more loudly than what the world is saying. Can y'all receive that today? Next level, courage. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit this week. Amen. How do you do that? Believe the works. What has he done? How many can say along with me this morning? We all have courage to raise your hand. How many of God's ever healed your body or somebody healed your body or somebody that you know has ever healed? Amen. Look at all the healings around here. Look at this. How many God has ever made a supernatural provision in your life to meet a need and you just know that it came from God? How many of you can say with me this morning that you have spent adequate amounts of time praying for a loved one to be saved and eventually they got saved? Come on. Amen. That's something right there. Come on. How many of you can say along with me this morning that you've been through seasons of discouragement so prevalent that you don't know how you're going to make it through, but God visited you and blessed your heart and reminded you of his goodness and his mercy and got you back up again? Anybody, have you ever been there? Aren't you thankful for his faithfulness? How about up in the balcony? God's blessed you guys. Amen. Amen. God has been so faithful. That's why we praise him. Y'all receive it today. Say a good amen. Amen. God bless y'all. We all stand with me this morning and let's pray. Amen.